Welcome to the W3QV repeater, PL91.5.
Good evening.
And good evening, Philmont. It is 7 p.m.
p.m.
And this is the Philmont Mobile Radio Club November meeting. Again, we're doing it over the repeater, obviously, because of the COVID-19 restrictions. Hopefully, we won't have to do this too much longer, but for now, this is what we have. Tonight is Old Timers Night, as it is every November meeting. And what we'll do in a little bit, I'll turn it over to Doug in a bit. And he will run the program tonight for the Old Timers Night. Before we do that, I'm going to conduct a short business meeting. And then I'm going to talk about the elections for a minute. And then I'll have Ed take check-ins. And then after Ed's done with that, I'll have Doug start his portion of the meeting. So right now, let me get to the reports here for the business section. Chuck, anything from the secretary's desk?
W3AFV, I sent the meeting minutes from the virtual board meeting to the blurb, so everybody will be seeing that in the December blurb. Key items discussed were the repeater update and the election and the scholarships, all of which I believe there will most likely be an update to all of them tonight. W3AFV, back to Ned.
Okay, Chuck, you're very good. All right, thanks for that. Let me see, the treasurer's report, our treasurer is not here tonight, but I did talk to George, and we're good as far as money goes. We're not hurting for anything. We've only had a few minor expenses during the month. One of them was to send the amplifier back to have just an upgrade done to it. So that should be coming back, and when that comes back, that will come back to George's house. And then we'll get that reinstalled back into the repeater. Scholarships were in good shape. And I think as far as scholarships go, the board did meet, and we are adding one more scholarship for next year. And that would be in honor of
W3QV repeater, Philadelphia.
I gotta watch this radio cuts off after a minute. That'll be in honor of Dick Mull. We'll have a scholarship for him in 2021. All right, that's pretty much it for the treasurer's report. Ed, do you have anything on membership?
No, just whatever's in the blurb. We have two prospective members who we did vote in. I don't have it in front of me, I should. But we're glad to have them aboard. That's about it. KB's ready.
All right, Ed, very good. All right, thank you for that. And let me see, if I'm not sure if Bill's here or not. I know he's got some things going on, had some things going on earlier. Bill, are you around tonight? W3A, okay. All right, and I can understand why. Doug, anything on the repeater?
WA3DST, yeah, I called Henry Radio today. They haven't gotten to the amplifier yet, but they say they will in the next day or two, and I expect we should have it back by next week sometime, the amplifier. The other items, over at the repeater, I installed a Ethernet switch to simplify the connections in the rack. Everything seems to be working pretty well. The internet is better than it has been. Every once in a while we have problems with it, but it's generally been okay. We're still awaiting Jeff to do an analysis for the repeater, WA3DSP.
All right, very good. All right, well, yeah, hopefully Henry will get that worked on and get that back to us, and then as you know, as soon as Jeff can get over there and do that analysis, that would be great. We can you know, find out exactly where we are. All right, did I miss any other committees? I'm going to talk about the election in a second, but any other committees I missed? Okay, not hearing anything there. I'm going to move on to the elections real quick. The elections for Philmont will be coming up in December. That's next month. And however, you know, we usually do this at the meeting and have a little bit of somewhat of a fanfare with it. But due to the restrictions we have, we're not going to be able to do that. Let me drop it. However, do not fear. We have it well in hand. The elections will be done online, and you'll have a chance after tonight's meeting. You'll have a chance from now until the night before the next meeting in December to vote, and that'll go out on the that'll go out on the list server. You'll be able to do that and do it online. And we have the president, the vice president, the secretary, treasurer, and board member positions. Let me drop it. A few of those are uncontested at the moment, but there are some positions that are being contested. So that'll be good. Add a little, you know, a little spice into it. And with that, in November, this is the point where we have to close the nomination. So what I will do tonight, I will ask right now if there are any other nominations. Anybody who has not submitted their name for a nomination that wants to run for either president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, or the board of directors, please call now. Number one, number two, second time.
Greg, just checking, KB2ERO, you have my name for the board?
Bob called you, Greg.
All right, third and final call for nominations. Please call now.
KB2ERO, do you have me down for the board?
Yep, I do, Bob. I do. I'm going to go over that list in 1 second.
Thank you.
All right, so for president, we have AJ3DI. For vice president, we have Rich K2RSJ. For treasurer, we have a race here, Ed KB3IV and Jim NS3K. For secretary, Chuck W3AFV. Let me drop it. And for the board, we have Doug WA3DSP, JWA2UAR, Bob KB2ERL, Dick W3UP, and Jeff KC3GJX. That's five people there. Only vote for four. So with that, I will ask for the final time if there's any other nominations for the board, please call now. Okay, not hearing anything. I will now mark the nominations are closed for Philmont, and the ballot that I have read it will be the ballot that we will vote on. Jim HA3DI will have that sent out to everybody, and I think you'll have from after tonight until the night before the meeting, or maybe two nights before the meeting, to vote. Let me drop. All right, those results will come back to George and myself, are the committee for the nominating committee and the elections committee. So, Jim, I've talked to George. He wants those results directed back at me. And then George and I will get together. We will tabulate those results. And at next month's meeting, we will announce who is going to be in what position. Okay. All right. Very good. All right, so that's the auctions. We have that taken care of, and Jim will get that out tonight, and we'll be set to go there. So, all right, Ed, you want to take some check-ins and see how many folks we have tonight?
Yes, we'll do. Good evening, all. KB3IV. Okay, so far. As far as check-ins, the people that I've heard, number one, WA3GM, number two, KB3IV, number three, WA3DSP, number four, W3AFV, and number five, KB2ERL. I will read down the list of who is on EchoLink and All-Star. Let's see. Got him. Next one on the list is K1IC, even though it shows a different call out of Cooper on the Superman. Listen to me. All right, we got you, Gary. And we've got WA3ADI, Vince, if he's listening. And we have Ben, K3BEN. Congratulations, Ben. You were one of the new members voted in at the board meeting last week. Then we have Brad, WB3BPI, in Georgia. And we have Vince, WB3ITW, over at Ann's Choice. That's everybody on EchoLink and All-Star. There was somebody before. I don't know where Jim, K3YO, went. Maybe you show back up. All right. Let me unkey, and then I'm going to key up and take check-ins. QRP and DX stations, spread them out.
W3MHP Mobile 3 Whiskey Alpha Quebec.
KB3WHR, Kilo Bravo 3, Whiskey Hotel Romeo Portable.
Good evening, Ed, N3QV.
A2RSJ.
W3NE.
Okay, net control recognizes. Number 8, Frank, W3MHP. Number 9, George, out in Reading, KB3WAQ. Number 10 is Brian, KB3WHR. Eric, N3QV is number 11. Rich, K2RSJ is number 12. And Bob Thomas, W3NE, number 13. Calls Alpha through Charlie. Calls Alpha through Hotel.
Alpha Bravo 3, Golf Bravo, Bob, hello.
KB3 DID, hello everyone.
Okay, number 6, number 14. Good morning. Oh boy, I need a mocha. Alpha Bravo 3, Golf Bravo. And number 15, good afternoon. KB3 DID. Good morning, Peggy. We had the home phone ring here. My wife's got it. Oh, God. This microphone is sensitive. Picks up my wife in the background talking. All right, let's do calls Alpha through November.
Good evening, Ed. This is KC3JUD. Kilo Charlie 3, Juliet Uniform Delta. Thank you.
Good evening, Barry. Number 16, KC3JUD. Calls Alpha through Sierra.
KB3 Orange.
Kilo 2, Sierra Papa Golf.
KB3SJS.
Kilo 3, Kilo Charlie.
That control recognizes. Number 17, KB3RN. Good evening, Ed, and good evening to Stephen, K2SBG, number 18, John, KB3SJS, number 19, and number 20 is K3KC. Let's do all calls, Alpha through Zulu.
Good evening, Ed, this is W3UP.
Good evening, Ed, WA2UAR in Center City is with you.
K3ZMJ, good evening, Ed.
WA3ABI, good evening, Ed.
Net control recognizes, number 21, W3UB. Good evening, Dick. And WA2UAR, Jay, you're number 22. Al, K3ZMJ, is number 23. Vince, WA3DSB. Excuse me, W. I gotta look at my list there, right? WA380I, sorry about that. I have you checked in as number 7, because you were on the Supermon list. Didn't know whether you were listening or not. So, last call for any check-ins. Okay. Okay, we've had 23 check-ins. I'll keep an eye on Echo Link and All Star if anybody else checks in. Anyone else wanted to check in, got a break, you can call. I will now turn the festivities over to WA3DSP. It's all yours, Doug.
Get one or two more things?
Go ahead, Greg.
All right, Doug, thanks, and thank you, Ed. All right, good group here tonight, and we're coming to you live tonight from, I would normally say sunny South Florida, but it's been anything but that the past 3 days here. It's been rainy and about 25 mile an hour sustained winds, so, and it's back at it again tonight, so hopefully tomorrow's going to be a better day. Just two more quick things. Eric, are you there?
Me and 3QV.
Are we all squared away on that thing?
No, not yet. I'll figure that out probably after the net or tomorrow.
Okay, any one of those is fine. And I just want to make another quick comment here to UAR, to Jay. Great job on the YouTube video for the What Hams Do series. The second part of that, that played the other day, the minorities in ham radio was excellently, superbly well done. I enjoyed that a lot, and I'm sure everybody else did too. But a great job on that, Jay.
Roger that, Greg. I thank you very much, and we are looking for ideas for the next one. One germ of an idea is science in ham radio, and maybe thinking about possibly building a project over time and, you know, shooting video of it as it's coming together. I've written to the hamsci.org people and see if they want to join me with that. Anybody has any ideas about how to do that, please let me know. Back to you, Greg, WA3GM. This is WA2UAR.
W3.
Okay, Jay, yeah, very good. And again, thank you and thanks for all your hard work. All right, Doug, we're going to turn it over to you now, and you'll run the old-timers portion of tonight's meeting. And a very good evening, too, to Bob Thomas here. Always good to hear Bob. WA3DSP, WA3G.
Okay, very good. WA3GM, WA3DSP. And, Greg, if you haven't heard, we had absolutely beautiful weather here the last week. Temperatures almost approaching 80 degrees, mid-70s, sunny, beautiful days. Of course, yesterday was the last of it. Today is raining and 65, so it's going to get colder now, but can't beat the weather we've had here for the last week. Ed, is WU3I around? Have you heard him on? WU3I, Steve.
I only heard him this morning on the RoosterNet. They are getting pounded right now by the hurricane. So that's why he's not around. I'm sure of that.
I'm out on that.
Okay, well, the reason I ask is he usually does a tribute to Veterans Day. And I do want to wish everybody a very happy Veterans Day and thank all the veterans that are listening here tonight. Steve usually does a little presentation at the November meeting, and today is Veterans Day. So we'll get started. Philmont was created in December 1949, January 1950. And throughout the 1950s and 1960s, operated on 29493 simplex AM on 10 meters. And in going through my basement in the last week or two, I'm doing a big cleanup here, I found a transceiver that was built, I think, by Jim, W3BBB, for 10 meters. I took some pictures of it, and I put it out on the website, also sent it out on the list server. So either way, if you go to the website or you go to the list server and click on this meeting, the message about this meeting, or the link on the website about this meeting, you'll see the pictures of the transceiver. It's a home-built 2E26 modulated with a pair of 6V6s, and it looks like the receiver was taken out of possibly a commercial, rebuilt from a commercial rig. It uses Loctel tubes and a combination of Loctel, Octel, and miniature tubes. So quite a neat set. I took pictures of the underside of the chassis also, and one of these days maybe I'll actually get it working. It has 29493 crystals in it, and there's no reason why it shouldn't work. Maybe the capacitors need replacing, and it needs a little tuning, but that's probably all it would really need. Let me break here.
Comment, Doug.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I had it written on my list here, and I forgot to, and I just see it, and I forgot to tell you. Yeah, Steve will not be here tonight, unfortunately. They've had a death in a family. Sue's brother died, so they're making arrangements to come home, I guess, in the next couple of days to take care of that. So they're tied up with that at the moment.
Okay, very good. Well, sorry to hear that, but Steve normally would give a tribute to the veterans, and of course, the western coast of Florida right now is being hit by a hurricane coming right up the coast, so they're probably inundated over there at the moment. All right, so I have on my list here four stations possibly that may be on frequency. I know Dick W3UP is on frequency, and Bob W3NE. Tom WA3KLR, do you happen to be listening? How about Rick N3FD? Are you around? Okay, I guess they couldn't make it tonight. But we will, I will start out the talk here with W3UP, Dick Klein, who is an old-time member of the club and probably has some comments. And then we'll go on with Bob W3NE, and then we'll go down the list after they start off here with some of their comments about some of the history of Philmont and maybe some things that happened earlier in our existence. We did have a net back in May, I think it was May, and on the air net, and we talked about some of these things, and we can go through them again or go through some new things possibly. I don't think Dick was on that net, I'm not sure. So when you do make your transmissions here tonight, keep in mind that there is a timeout on the repeater. If you go, you can certainly talk longer than two minutes or 3 minutes, but make sure you make breaks in there so we don't time out the repeater. W3UP, Dick, comments, WA3DSP.
Okay, Doug, well, thank you, and first of all, good evening to everybody attending the meeting. It sounds like a great meeting, and with everything we're going through, it's a bright spot in my day, that's for sure. Well, I joined the club in 1954. I'm embarrassed to tell you, as a very young teenager, myself and a bunch of other people who were part of the West Philadelphia Amateur Radio Club, which was basically a club run by Al Jarrett, W3OWK, and he was sort of like the Boy Scout leader. And we had myself and a number of other members of the West Philadelphia Radio Club come on over and get into Philmont and get into a lot of trouble. I have, as I matured, I became more and more active. I mean, I remember having a, my first rig was a 10-meter rig in the trunk with a dynamotor. And for those of you who don't know that term, dynamotor was simply a 6-volt motor that drove a generator and produced high voltage for the plates and the various components of the transmitter, which was a war surplus transmitter. I don't remember what receiver I had in the car, but all I know, I had a whip mounted on the back fender, and we all had a great ball without a repeater, and the frequency 29493, of course, came from the abundance of crystals from the Second World War, which were 73.3 crystals times 4 made the 29493.2. So it was a great time, and as again, as I matured, I'm trying to keep this short now, guys. As it matured, I became more and more active in the club, and was very honored to be voted president in 1969, and was member of the board. And we, at that time, had mid-month meetings, which were where business was really transacted, and they were in the middle of every month. I've hosted them at my house, and I've attended umpteen numbers of those things. However, in 1971, I was transferred, working for IBM, down to Potomac, Maryland. And I lost contact, although there are some pictures I know in the archives, and you'll see one of my license plates, which were from Maryland, was W3WXC, was my original call. And so I came back in the, basically in the 80s, and I was very, very busy in my work. And I went through that mid-amateur life hiatus, being away from amateur radio until... I don't know, maybe about 5 years ago. So now I'm back, and I am really excited about Philmont. I also have the honor of being added to the net control list, and I hope I can have the privilege of being on the board again. Have many, many years and many, many mistakes and many, many successes to base that on. So, Doug, let me turn it back to you. I don't want to burn up too much time. And again, I want to wish everybody in the meeting tonight the very best of 73. So, WA3DSP, this is W3UP.
W3UP and the Philmont Meeting Net, WA3DSP. Very good, Dick. And fine on your comments there. Yeah, the dynamotors... are very rare now. It's hard to find one. I used to have, I think I have one in the basement. But years ago, I mean, we just threw them away because we didn't have any more use for them. But now they're a commodity, really. People are looking for them for repairing and fixing old equipment to original appearance. And the 96-inch whip, that's the, people would buy the CB-length whips, which were 102 inches, I believe, and cut them down for 29,493. I think it ended up being around 96 inches. So would hit trees as you went down the street. I had one on my 55 Chevy mounted it on the back fender, and anytime you would go past the trees, it would hit them and bang and clang, but it didn't hurt anything. It was a very flexible whip, so that was always always a lot of fun. All right, we'll turn it over to Bob, W3NE, for your comments, WA3DSP.
Okay, Doug, WA3DSP from W3NE. Good evening, all. And Dick Klein's transmission brought back a lot of memories. Yeah, you know, there is life without a repeater, and we got along very well. Fortunately, when the club really got underway, 10 meters was wide open, and we often got a relay between somebody, say, in Mount Airy and somebody in Wilmington who couldn't work each other directly, but a Denver station or a station out west would often fill in and transfer our transmissions. The first thing I want to do, I've been thinking about this, is to recognize WP3BPI. I don't know how many of you know him, especially since he's moved to Georgia now, but Brad is one of George King's W3PXY, one of his rabbits, as George used to call the children in those days. He's no child now. But anyway, Brad has been around for a long while, and I've always had a suspicion that Brad King was named after Brad Martin, who was sort of the dean of amateur radio, at least as far as Philmont was concerned. And it was indeed an honor to be named after him, if that was the case. I'm pretty sure it was, but it's good to hear him on, if only briefly, on the nets. Doug, your mention of a B103 reminds me. I had a 53 Ford, and I had a 60-watt transmitter in the trunk, along with a B103, which was one of the favorites, because you could feed in either 6 or 12 volts, and I think you got 380 or something like that out. I had welding cables from the battery under the hood back to the trunk for this thing, and they were really unique. They started up almost instantaneously. When you pressed the transmit button, it went oink, and you had plate voltage for your final amplifier. They were one of the many advantages of surplus in those days. And yeah, the 8-foot whip. What was really cool was when you were going along the turnpike and your whip was blown back at about 20 or 30 degrees, and it didn't wobble around or anything. It just sort of cruised along. And like I say, in today's terminology, it was cool. I don't know whether anybody thought of it that way at that time or not, but they were a lot of fun. I guess the only other thing I wanted to mention was a 6-meter rig that I built. Wait till I break. I think at one time it was mentioned that you'd like to have some stories about equipment that was built then, and did you still have it? Well, this was a transceiver that was described in a free handout that General Electric used to have called GE Ham News. RCA had one called Ham Tips, and they were on the counter of the many radio stores that were in Philadelphia at that time. I built one of these. I think it had about 9 watts out, and it had a built-in super regenerative receiver. So it was for its time, it was compact. It was in a 5x6x9 box. Well, I never put it on the air, which happened to a lot of things that I built. I would build them and then not use them. But the fun was in the building for me. Anyway, I somewhere along the line I got rid of it. Either gave it away or sold it at a ham fest. And one day I was just cruising around on eBay, not looking for anything in particular, and here this transceiver that I had built popped up, and I know it was my transceiver because I had put a cutout of our club symbol at the time, Gumbadi, a guy who was spitting into a mic in his car, and he has a wild look on his face, which pretty much characterized the Philmon operators at that time. So anyway, this thing was on eBay, and I got a successful bid, bought it back, and I still have it. It still has the original crystal. It was 5070 for, is that what it was? That was something else. Anyway, oh, I know, 50.7 was the calling frequency on 6 meters at the time, and that crystal is still in it. So I've always said I would put it back into use, but my eyesight has really gone blotto, and it's not going to happen. But at least I can look at the transceiver. It's good to hear everybody on. Nice to hear Dick getting active again, and I hope that the guys in the club listen to him because he's got some wisdom that that Philmon could use, and I wish him all the best in the election. That's a free plug for you, Dick. So back to you, Doug. WA3DSP from W3NE.
W3NE, WA3DSP in the Philmont on-the-air meeting, Old Timers Night. Thank you, Bob. Always great to hear your comments. And, you know, when I think about it, you know, I'm one of the old timers at this point, and it's hard to, it's kind of hard to imagine that. I was first licensed in 1965 and became a member of Philmont back then. I did have some lapses in membership over the years, but my first membership was in 65, and I knew Brad Martin, visited his home. He didn't live very far from where I lived, and in Abington, Pennsylvania, and he helped me put some RDI equipment on the air when I was trying to get on RDI, and a really great guy, and I went to his funeral. Which I think was around 1967 or 8, somewhere in that period. I actually somewhere have the handout from the memorial service at Willow Grove Naval Air Station where the service was held for Brad Martin. So, yeah, and the GE ham tips and the RCA ham tips, they were really neat. I liked them. I always enjoyed them. They weren't, you know, they didn't go into a lot of extensive how-to, but for the builder and somebody that knew how to build, that was all you needed to construct whatever it was that they were publishing that month, and it was always a lot of fun to look at those old tips that came out. And I can always remember seeing them at the ham stores and so forth. All right, Dick and Bob, if you can stick around, we'll come back to you at some point here and see if you have any further comments. But let me start out and go down the list here because it's a pretty long list here tonight. Remember, you keep your transmissions, or at least break your transmissions before 2 or 3 minutes. So we don't time out the repeater. You can talk longer, but don't talk longer continuously than that. Let's go to WA3GM for your comments, Greg, WA3DSP.
All right, Doug, very good. Good evening again to you. This is WA3GM. Well, let me see. I don't have some of the accomplishments that certainly that you and Dick and Bob Thomas have there, but been a member of Philmont for almost 35 years and served in a lot of capacities, I think, in all the board positions except the treasurer. I never wanted that job. That was a good job for Ed KB3IV to handle. So he always did a good job there. So I didn't want any parts of that. And I guess mainly I was around when we still had the station down at the Franklin Institute, and when we used to meet at the Franklin Institute. As a matter of fact, that's where I took all my tests except the advanced test, and that was somewhere in Percy or something. But most of my interest in ham radio was somewhat with the repeaters. I have a 220 repeater in Wincote. It's been there for about 30 years. It's been there, so. And luckily, that never gives us any problem. But most of my main interest in ham radio over the years, and still is today, is in HF. And about 90% of that is working CW. So living in a row house when I did in the city was tough with antenna wise. Steve WU3I come over and put a few up as best as we could get them up there. Kind of tough in the row house and going out to the electric pole and fighting with the electric company when they wanted you to take it down, and then after they left you put it back up again, and I guess till somebody else made a complaint. But then I used to have made a couple of homemade verticals. And they served really well. And they were made out of stuff that was made out of a painter's pole, the one that I had. Made out of a 16-foot painter's pole to add a little bit more length to it for 20 meters. You got one of those Radio Shack antennas and just taped it to it. Made sure the continuity was good between all the sections of the thing, and it actually worked very well. I worked a lot of DX with that antenna, and it cost me about $6 to make the thing. And I think one of my first contacts on that antenna back in the day was was on 40 meters CW to a girl over in Bermuda. Now the antenna was nowhere near being anywhere near being resonant on 40 meters, but I did have a tuner and did get it tuned down there, and that was one of my first CW contacts with that antenna. So and I still have that antenna today. Along with a few others. In fact, right out here on the balcony at the condo here in Florida, I have a 31-foot jackite pole that's fiberglass, and a 35-foot piece of wire on that runs back into the condo, along with a counterpoise that runs all across the condo. And I mean, it works okay. I mean, band conditions are not the greatest at all these days, so kind of tough sometimes, but it does work. And I made a hang on 1 second. I went out to the park the other day up the street here, and took one of my radios with me and an antenna that I made from out of speaker wire, and took that up and strung it up at the position there, and I was up there for about an hour and a half, made a bunch of CW contacts there. The first one I made, the guy came back to me, was from Belgium, so all that on a piece of speaker wire, and pretty much low power. I think it was about 10 watts on that. So that's the kind of stuff that I still like to do today, and I do that when I come down here to Florida. Of course, at home I have a lot better antennas at home. So, but you got to make do when you're on the road. All right, Doug, that's pretty much all I have here. So back to you, WA3 DSP, WA3GM.
Okay, very good, Greg. And we'll turn it over to Ed, KB3IV.
Thank you, Doug. We have another check-in on Echolink. It's Jim, K3YO. And let me stand by for any other check-ins to the Philmont meeting. Any other check-ins, please?
Kilo Charlie 3, Gulf Juliet X-ray. Jeff here.
Okay, Jeff. You're number 25, KC3, GJX. I'll keep it brief. I know there's a lot of people out there. Just as a reminder, even though it's Old Timers Night, if you want to mention, as is on our website, it's featuring you and your oldest equipment. I'm not talking about your physical self. Let us know what was your first and or your oldest still operating equipment. So my first, I started out in 11 meters on the CB bands in about 1975, and grew my station. I was just looking at a picture from 77, all the stuff I had on my desk in my shack up in the attic. And the one piece of equipment that wasn't CB, well, even though it was at first, was a Yaesu FT-101. I think it was a double A. So that started out as my first HF rig. And the oldest still operating that I have is my ICOM IC-706 Mark IIG, which I bought brand new at the Dayton Hamvention in 2004. Right now it's residing in the closet, but it still works. If I can get my grandson to become a ham, that goes to him. All right, I'm going to keep it short. There's a lot of people out there who want to make some comments. So back to you, Doug, KB3IV.
KB3IV, WA3DSP, and the Philmont on the air net meeting, Old Timers Night. And fine on your comments, Ed. I'll just make a few quick comments on my first equipment. I was a novice starting in June 1965, and I had built a Knight T60 transmitter and a Heath HR10 receiver, two kits that I built. That was my first station. I later built some homebrew transmitters, and I had an HQ110 receiver, Hammerlin. And then finally I went in the Air Force, and of course I ended up with some Tentec equipment. That was probably my first transceiver, was a Tentec. I think it was a Model 540. That would have been in the mid-1970s. But the Knight T60 and the HR10, I have both of those in my museum here. They're not the originals that I had. They're ones that I acquired later, but I do have most all of my original equipment, either original or purchased later to replace it in my museum here. All right, we'll go on to W3AFD, WA3DSP. W3AFD, are you still on frequency? WA3DSP. Okay, we'll go on to Bob, KB2ERL. Are you still there? WA3DSP.
Hey, Doug. Hey, everybody on the net. KB2ERL here. I actually can't remember exactly what the date was that I came in. I think it was back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. But it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy ham radio. Right now, with so many other stuff, things going on, especially since I got my captain's license, I haven't had the time that I needed, but I still do enjoy, when I do get on and the people that are on, I don't do enough HF. I started with such HF. And I lived out in New Jersey. And let me think, what else? Used to go to a lot of ham fests. Thoroughly enjoyed when I did join Philmont. Had a lot of good times, met a lot of great people. And God, as we get older, I can't even remember all the equipment that I've been through. But there was a fair amount, and I have still have some of it. My first HF rig was a Kenwood TS-820, which I still have. It's in operational condition. Been through a number of other radios. I like Kenwood equipment. A lot of HTs and various antennas and stuff. But, you know, got into public service communications too. Enjoyed that. So, I don't know. I guess, like I say, we have a lot of great people in the hobby. There's a lot of great equipment out there. The old stuff is fun. The new stuff is pretty good, getting better. So, we got to keep the hobby moving. And the old guys, we got to keep going and get some new guys to keep the hobby moving. And that's about all I have. Back to Net Control, KB2ERL.
Okay, very good. KB2ERL, WA3DSP. Fine on everything there, Bob. And we'll go on to KA3BEN, WA3DSP.
Oh, good evening, everybody. And thank you for welcoming me into your ranks this evening. I haven't been a ham very long, about a year and a half. I got my license. I first got interested in radio back during the CB craze in the 70s. And I'm very much into CB. And then I started to get interested in ham radio, I think, when I was 15. But I didn't get a license then. And now 40 years later, I finally got my license. So the oldest radio I have is a Yaesu FT-70, which was, that's my first radio, and that's what I'm talking on now. So anyway, I've been enjoying listening to everybody's stories, and I'll turn it back over to you to listen to more stories. K3BEN, back over to Net Control.
Okay, very good. Are you, where are you located in Quakertown? What part of Quakertown?
I'm actually just outside of Quakertown. I'm right by Nockamixon.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, I know. I guess near 313 and where you turn to go to Nockamixon?
Yeah, I actually live just off of that intersection.
Okay, very good. Yeah, Tom, WA3KLR, who's a club member, lives on the other side of 611, or I'm sorry, the other side of 309, going west on 313. Actually, it's not 313 on the other side of 309, but he's out not too far from the turnpike entrance there in Quakertown. I don't know if you've ever met Tom, WA3KLR, but he's an old-time member, and his dad was one of the original, or close to original, members of the club. All right, we'll go on to, let's see here, WB3BPI, WA3DSP.
Yeah, WA3DSP in the group, WB3 Bedpan Inspector. Well, my recollections are a little bit different than a lot of people. I was a member, if you will, by osmosis through W3PXY, commonly known as Pixie. And Jim, W3BBB, and everything Bob was talking about there, W3NE was talking about, really brought back some big time memories. And a lot of my memories were, my dad got involved with the club back in the early 50s, with Jim and with Carl, W3SGR, and there's some names from the past, I attribute to a lot of where I am right now, actually, to ham radio and to Bigger Better Babies, because he'd come up to the farm and he would just drop off boxes of junk, and most people would look at it as junk. I looked at it as like Christmas, and let me drop it real quick. And it was quite a deal, and I look forward to that more than anything else. I'll tell you, it was incredible. But Dad hosted a lot of picnics at the farm, both farms, and Jim would bring up big old generators and set up some antennas and press cider and ride horses and get out the shotguns and do a lot of skeet and trap and so on. That's a lot of my memories of all of that. And then all the way up into the Paddlerama days. And I got my license in 1976. My first rig was a Hot Water 101. But of course, I always had the use of everything that Dad had laying around. One of my biggest funniest memories is him burning warts off his hands off the plates of his amplifier. You know, he would just smoke them right off. And why go to the doctor when you had an amplifier at your disposal? So, a lot of thoughts, a lot of memories, and I could go on forever. There's no doubt about it, about the Franklin Institute and so on, and just some incredible times. But and then my dad would always talk about the dynamotors. He had to rev the engine up every time he keyed up because it would about stall the car. So, good evening to everybody. Really great to hear everybody. Thank God for a little bit of technology here so I can continue on. So thanks, Doug, for running a great show here tonight. WA3BSP, WB3BPI.
WB3BPI and the Philmont on the air net, WA3DSP, very good. Yeah, those dynamotors, especially the runs that ran on 6 volts, drew a tremendous amount of current. And I know they used dynamotors on some of the aircraft, and in some cases they drew as much as a couple hundred amps in startup current because of the extreme amount of a surge on startup, so it really required a hefty power supply to start some of those up. I know people trying to run dynamotors on home power supplies, they'd often have to parallel a lot of supplies together to get it started, or put it on a battery to get it started. So that was certainly something to contend with. All right, WB3IDW, WA3DSP. WB3IDW, are you on frequency? WA3DSP.
He locked off Echo Link.
Okay, how about the W3MHP? Nothing heard. How about KB3WAQ? I guess some of these people have logged off. KB3WHR, WA3DSP.
Hey, good evening there, Doug, and the group. This is KB3WHR, Brian, portable in North Wales. Love hearing these stories, so I'm a fairly new member to Philmont, so got my start back in 2012, 2013. Fairly young guy in my 30s now, but coming up on my re-up ticket, so been around most of my early work in the amateur radio has been just on repeaters, what I can do with just a handy talkie, but now starting to venture into HF, so finally getting into the HF and building the kits and doing the antennas and all that. So I've been through quite a bit of the portable, the handy talkie radios, but one of the kits that I did really like building, my first HF kit, was a RockMic 20, so getting up on 20 meters and still trying to learn CW, so that's kind of been on the back burner for a while. Let me drop it here. So I very much love playing with the RockMic 20 out QRP and what I can do with a watt or two. And, you know, the old technology is neat. I love building the kits and all and love tinkering with it, but software-defined radio is also kind of nice, so definitely embracing the technology. So nothing further here, Doug. I'll pass it back to Ned, and great hearing everyone on here, and this is KB3WHR, back to Ned.
KB3WHR, WA3DSP. Very good, Brian, and welcome to amateur radio, even though you've been on for a little while, but HF is going to come back in the next, hopefully in the next few years. It's already started, I believe, and you'll probably have a lot of fun there, so you'll have to look forward to that. Okay, over to Eric, N3QV, WA3DSP.
Hey, good evening, Doug. Good evening to everyone on the net. I guess I've been a member since, I'm not an old-timer by any means, but I guess I've been a member since, maybe I got my license in 97, so maybe in 97, 98, I remember that when I was first interested in amateur radio, I guess I had seen a movie and then someone actually did a demonstration of it at my elementary school. And my dad knew Rick, now N3FD, and I was at his office, I guess, one day, and he introduced me to Rick, and we sat down for about 2 hours. We took some blank paper from, I guess, the copy machine, and we you wrote down everything I needed to know to get into the hobby. And I bought, I guess Now You're Talking by the ARRL, and I studied and got my license, and it was one of the most interesting, most rewarding things I've ever done. Skipping forward, as far as the radio question, I remember that when I first got into the hobby, I used to listen on a Radio Shack shortwave
radio that I picked up from, I guess, Radio Shack way back when. I guess that I must have been 15 or 14 at the time when I was studying. And I think after I got my license, I built a Ramsey CW transmitter kit for CW. And I think I made two contacts on it before I somehow burned it out, and I never really fixed it. I did get Radio Shack 2-meter rig. I think they were clearing them out at that time and kind of exiting built-in ham radio equipment. But since knowing Rick and getting into Philmont, you know, you're welcome back then. You were welcomed in the club with open arms. You still are now, but I mean, you really were, at least I felt that I was. And it became like a second family. And through the club, you know, I met Dick, W3RM, and he had, I guess, called me on the repeater, called me on the phone and said, I have a radio for you, I'm going to bring it over. So he brought it over, and we had set it up, I guess, in the basement, and I had already built a 40-meter dipole from scratch with some RG58 that I was given as the feed line. And it was a Heathkit HW101, and there's a story behind this radio. It wasn't just, you know, someone's radio. It was actually built by Tom Bolander, who, WA3KLR, and Dick had told me that he built that radio, I guess he was in the service. I'm not sure if it was Air Force or Army or what it was, but that he had it in his locker, and he would take it in and out of his locker, I guess in pieces, and build it and then put it back in there, I guess, until it was fully built. And he had the radio for a while, and then it was given to Dick. And Dick used it for many years, and I know that I'm going to get some of the story wrong, and I think Ed and some of the other members, maybe you do too, Doug, know that he used it for phone patches on HF. So that rig's got a lot of history. And I, when he gave it to me, it actually had the CW filter in it. I was really interested in CW at the time, and he had given me a key that was seemed to be out of some kind of World War II submarine or ship or something like that, and so I had a straight key to use with it, and it was one of the only radios, HW101s, that had a digital readout. It actually, Tom had built in a, there's a little LED to the right, and it would show the last, I guess it's a, kind of like a frequency counter, and it would show you the last two digits and then a dot in the last and the last digit, so you knew where you were, even though the HW101s were known for to drift all the time. And then on the back, it had a mode. It had a little switch and a little box, so that you, I guess it was used for RIDI at one time. So it had a box to change over to be able to use the. Be able to use it for RIDI. And he also modified the neutralization of it, and he also modified the power supply. And the power supply, instead of having the original capacitors and transformer, it's got a transformer and capacitors, I guess, from an old TV. And I think it all still works. I had it on a couple of months ago. It still powers up. I think it needs a little TLC at this point, but I'm not as technically savvy with cheap radio equipment to kind of figure out what TLC that it needs, but at some point I might ask a member for somebody for help with getting it back in the air. But I had that. I used that rig when I guess after I got my general in the hobby, and I could not wait to get home from school to use that. To turn it on and get on the air on HF, it was just such a blast. And then I would get on the Sunday nets with it, and that was a real treat for me to receive that radio. Back to you, Doug. Thank you, N3QV.
N3QV, WA3DSP. Very good, Eric. Well, since it is Veterans Day, I'll just throw a few things in there. I went in the Air Force in August 1969, and I believe Tom, well, I was
was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at Keesler Air Force Base in training in Mississippi. And I can remember going to the Keesler Air Force Base ham radio station and talking back to Tom and his dad, W3VVS, in Philadelphia from down there. Tom and his brother, his twin brother, Tom has a twin brother, Fred, he's not a ham, but they both went into the Air Force about a year later after I did. And Tom was Tom did training at Chanute in Illinois, and then he went on to Minot, North Dakota, where he was in missiles for the duration of his tour. And I ended up in Indiana, and then on the island of Guam, and then back in South Dakota. But we always kept in touch via ham radio, and in fact, when I was in South Dakota, he visited, he came down from Minot, North Dakota, and visited visited me there in South Dakota. And we always kept in touch on the radio as much as we could throughout our service tour. And I remember the HW-101. In fact, I have one on the in my shack here. It's one of the transceivers that I have on shelves here in my shack. It's not down in my museum, so it got elevated to being in the shack along with my KWM-2 and some of the other old equipment is up here in the shack. But anyhow, that was our Air Force career back in the early 1970s. Tom and I would keep in touch, and it's a shame Tom's not on here tonight. He probably has some stories he could tell, but I guess he had other things to do. All right, we'll go on to K2RSJ, WA3DSP.
Yes, I let it drop all the way there. Good evening, Doug. Good evening to everybody on the net. This is Rich, K2RSJ, and while not quite an old-timer yet, like Eric said, I was licensed in 1983 in high school as a novice, and my first radio was the ever-popular HW-101, which was borrowed, and I remember using a long wire out the side of my parents' house, and one of those really teeny-tiny MFJ tuners, and one of those little Radio Shack meters, and worked about half the country on CW with that, and upgraded to technician, which back then still didn't give you any HF privileges. And remained a technician for quite a lot of years. I was fortunate enough to be a member of the Mid-Atlantic Amateur Radio Club, MARC, which many of you know, which is where I met Carter in 3AO, which many of you know, who was became kind of my Elmer, and then one of my college professors at Cabrini, where I went. And so... yeah, at that time, I think one of the repeaters was at Cabrini College, and learned a lot about it. And, you know, after college, life happens, and I got away from the hobby and started to get back into it and put a rig in the car, where I met Bill, W3AOK, and we used to talk, going back and forth to work. And I helped him with some car stuff. I'm a car guy. And we talked more and more about radio, and I upgraded to General. And now, thanks to Bill and also Carter, who gave me one of his old radios, which still feels new to me, Yaesu FT920, which was a Cadillac of its time, I believe, from the late 1990s, early 2000s, big giant radio. And Bill helping me out with an amplifier. I put up HF off-center fed dipole and a nice big dual bander outside, and really enjoy my shack here at home, and have mobiles in two of my vehicles, and of course a bunch of HTs, and looking forward to the opportunity to be an officer of the club. I've been on the board, and looking forward to continuing on the legacy of so many of the great members that have done so much work for the club. So with that, I'll pass it back to you, Doug. Thanks. Doing a great job, as always. K2RSJ, back to that.
K2RSJ and the Philmont on the air net, WA3DSP. Very good, Rich. And I've got W3NE on my list now. Of course, he started out the net here this evening. But, Bob, do you have any further comments? W3NE, WA3DSP.
WA3DSP from W3NE. Okay, Doug. Well, unfortunately, a neighbor, Ham, who was in another wing of this apartment complex, has been on 40, I think he's on 40 meters. he doesn't seem to have QSOs. He just sends dashes in his call and stuff like that. But it's chopping up the repeater signal, believe it or not. I think the problem is lack of rejection by the transceiver that I'm using, which shall remain nameless. Why, one thing I wanted to mention tonight, in case any of the fellows who get on the 75-meter net have been wondering, I've given up on HF because my wife got a pacemaker at the beginning of October, and my antenna, which consists of two screwdriver antennas configured as a dipole, is only about 5 feet from our apartment, and I can't operate with 100 watts and a clear conscience with that situation, and I've given up, and I had more or less given up on the antenna anyway, so I hope that can be made available by the auction later on this year. It's pretty, things are pretty indefinite right now because of the COVID. Another thing I wanted to mention was we used to have a dinner meeting for Old Timers Night, and one of the favorite places was the Tankard Inn. I don't know if it's still there at the junction of the expressway and turnpike, but is that where it was? Yeah, well, it was in Conshohocken, and they were a lot of fun. Other than that, and listening to the comments, it's very impressive to see that the activity in the club keeps up, and I wish everybody good luck in the future. So good evening to all. And Doug, back to you, WA3DSP from W3NE.
W3NE, WA3DSP. Very good, Bob. Well, I don't know if you've we've ever discussed this, but there's a lot of people using remote transmission and reception sites, and they are available, especially reception. You might consider that. You know, over the internet, it's certainly not the same as having it there, but it's probably better than nothing. And I imagine there's a lot of people in your situation that are operating on HF in that way. I mean, Greg goes to Florida and he operates his rig back here in Pennsylvania, so maybe he would share it with you once in a while. You'll have to talk to him about that and how to do it. All right, we'll go on to AB3GB, WA3DSP.
WA3DSP in the group. This is Alpha Bravo 3, Golf Bravo. This is my first Philmont club meeting. I'm not a member yet, but I've known many of you guys for 10-plus years, showed up at most of your field days, and moved a few tables and had a good time. And I just happened to have the radio on, and I heard you announce the meeting, and I said, hey, I think that's something I want to do. So here I am. I've not been around all that long. I got my license back in 2007, and my first radio was an ICOM 7000, and I started out with quite a lot of time on the HF bands, and more recently spending a little bit more time on some of the repeater network groups that meet frequently. That's pretty much it. I won't hold it. I know you have a long list and a lot of people, so I'm going to pass it back to you. This is Alpha Bravo 3, Golf Bravo, Bob.
AB3GB, WA3DSP. Very good, Bob. And hopefully you'll become a member of the club. And the IC7000, I've got two of those. One here is a standby rig here at my home QTH. I use a TS590 primarily, but I also have an IC7000 down at my vacation home in Cape May, and that's a really nice rig. It works very, very well, and it's a shame that they stopped making that rig, because the one that replaced it was kind of goofy in design compared to the IC7000. All right, KB3DID, WA3DSP.
I'm going to fill in for Peggy. I'm not Peggy. she has a very short history. She was licensed in 2000 downtown at the Franklin Institute. At the same time, I upgraded to general. She went from 0 to 13 words a minute in just a few months. It took the same amount of time for me to go from 10 words a minute to 13. So she's not very active. She only checks into the Philmont net, but she listens a lot. So thank you for calling her back. I'll tell you, you called. This is K3ZMJ standing in for KB3DID.
Okay, very good, WA3DSP. Well, that's great. I'm glad you were able to do that for her. All right, KC3JUD, WA3DSP. KC3JUD, are you on frequency, WA3DSP? Okay, we'll go on to KB3RN, WA3DSP.
WA3DSP, KB3RN, very good, sorry, thank you. I was talking to Ed by email, and send me a Carmel. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was kind of, it looked like a toy ham radio is what it looked like. And it transmitted to an AM, to a regular AM band radio. Both voice and supposedly CW, but I think the CW is just audio. And that was my first piece of equipment, so to speak. So I could go on and on, but I won't. I know you have a long list. So thanks for all you guys do. Back to you, Doug. WS3DSP, KB3RN.
KB3RN, WA3DSP, and the Philmont on the air Old Timers Night Net. Very good, Ed, and fine on all your equipment. And I might comment that a lot of us have a lot of equipment that and a lot of things that we'd like to get rid of, and it doesn't seem like we're going to have an auction this year, at least in person, at this point. So we're going to have to maybe think of an alternate way to do that. And maybe get rid of some of our stuff. Let me break here for a minute. So we'll have to make an announcement about that at a later date. All right, K2SPG, WA3DSP.
Evening, Doug, everybody else on the net. I mean, now mobile, I'm heading to Lowe's. I have to pick up a few things. I've only been a ham since last July, so I'm by no means an old-timer. I'm still learning things. I haven't collected a whole lot of stuff. My first radio was a Baofeng, and the latest radio that I bought was a TS-590SG Kenwood. And that's really all I have. I'm trying to concentrate on driving. So I'll stay back to net, and this is K2SPG.
Okay, very good. K2SPG, WA3DSP. I have a TS-590. It's a nice radio. I use it quite often, so it's a nice workhorse radio. Not a lot of bells and whistles, but good for HF. And even on, it even goes to the VHF-UHF bands if you want to use it there. All right, KB3SJS, John, are you still there, WA3DSP? KB3SJS, WA3DSP.
This is KB3SJS. I'm on a handheld. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah, you're fine, John. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going in and out of this. I'll just say hello to everyone on the net, and I'll tell my story some other time. I don't have the... I'm in the middle of doing something else, and I'm glad to hear everything going on, but I'm in and out. So this is KB3SJS.
Okay, very good, John. Well, you're just about full quieting. There's just a little tiny bit of noise behind you there, so no problem. K3KC, WA3DSP. K3Kilo Charlie, WA3DSP. Okay, nothing heard, and I have Dick, W3UP, on my list at this point. And Dick, do you have any further comments, WA3DSP?
Okay, Doug, this is Dick, W3UP. Just to say that my first real... transmitter, which I still have, and I haven't powered it up in a while, was a Johnson Messenger. It was a 10-meter transmitter that had one crystal inside of it. So, I mean, you bought it, and it was one frequency, which was 29,493. And I made many, many happy conversations with that. I do have one other comment I'd like to make, and that in regard to W3NE. I don't know if a lot of you remember all the articles that Bob wrote for the blurb over the years. He is a brilliant engineer, an absolutely brilliant engineer. And he's given so much to the club and so much information. And I'll tell you one very quick story. I remember in a meeting, or maybe it was in the blurb, he talked about being in the design team for the RCA, I think it was 630 black and white TV chassis, and what they put together, and then every year being told you got to take, you got to reduce the cost by a certain percentage until you had something but nothing but a skeleton left. So that's all I have, Doug. Thanks so much for running the meeting tonight, the old-timers portion of the meeting tonight. I've really enjoyed it. I'm sure everybody else also. And I want to wish you and everybody the best of 73. So WA3DSV, this is W3UP.
W3UP, WA3DSP. Very good, Dick, and great to have you on the net. And all your comments, Johnson Messenger, I can picture it vividly. I remember it. It had that crazy kind of microphone. It was a kind of like a stick almost. Maybe had four sides to it, and it came down to a point at the bottom. I believe that was what the messenger had. Am I correct on that?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a messenger too, and they may have redesigned it, Doug. I have a regular push-to-talk mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I can remember what the front panel looks like, and I think a lot of film monitors had those rigs over the years, different models of it, probably. And of course, I think that ended up being a CB rig once the CB band was created, 11 meters. Johnson made that same radio for the Citizens band, I believe, at least a similar design to that. And Bob's fine articles in the blurb, and if anybody's listening and you don't have a copy, if you're a member of the club and you don't have a copy of the DVD that we published that has all of the blurbs and a lot of the history and probably thousands of photos of Philmont on that DVD, you could spend probably weeks or months going through that and some of the all the events that went on in Philmont. And Bob's fine articles in the blurb will all be on that DVD. All right, we'll go on to WA2UAR, WA3DSP.
He had to leave.
Okay, KB3ZMJ.
Good evening, Doug. The rest of the net, this is K3ZMJ. Was licensed in 1963, around July 63, and I started out on 2 meters AM with a 522 transmitter, Amigo converter, HQ140X, Hammerland as the IF, and of course the famous Telrex antenna. Then I got drafted and everything came to an end. When I got out, I still had the same equipment. And I eventually moved up to a Johnson 6 and 2, which was really not that good. And then I got the TS-520. Great radio, really. No frills, as we all know. But this one was strictly, I think it was 80 through 10 meters, something like that. Anyway, I had the VFO, the remote VFO, and the remote speaker with it. Then after that, I had a Heath kit. I believe it was called an SB-100. And I used that at the shipyards when I was working down there, doing a great sunspot cycle. I think it was somewhere in the 80s. I had a 35-foot, Healy, some kind of wire-wound antenna encased in fiberglass. It was called a deck-edge antenna for aircraft carrier. So I really got out extremely well from the shipyard. I even worked once in a while. But, helical, I think they called it. So I was still a tech, and, of course, 10 meters only. Let me drop. And then eventually I got a 2000, but long after the yard closed, I put an ICOM 718, which I'm still using today. So, had a lot of fun. Very active with contesting and the challenges of contesting. So, by the way, when I was in the Army, I was radio operator. When I reported for duty in Germany, they knew I was an infantryman, but they asked me what I did in civilian life. And I said the ham radio operator and TV repair and all. So I ended up in a communications platoon in Germany. So that's it in a nutshell. And thank you for tuning in. Good evening to all. It's good to hear the technical end of this net. WA3DSP, K3ZMJ. Good night.
K3ZMJ, WA3DSP. Very good. And just a few comments about 2 meters. When I was licensed as a novice in 1965, the novices at that time could use 2 megahertz of 2 meters. 145 to 147 megahertz was legal for novices. And back then, there virtually weren't any repeaters. So for people that understand how it works today, it didn't work that way back then. You came on, and you had to be crystal controlled as a novice. So you picked a crystal that ended up somewhere in the 145 to 147 range, and you went on and called CQ, and people tuned around, similar to the way you would do on HF today. They tuned around, they found you, and you found them. You weren't necessarily on the same frequency. And that's what you would do, and you'd turn your beam. It was horizontal, not vertical. It was horizontal at that time on AM, and you turned your beam to wherever they were located. And I worked many stations from, the Philadelphia area down into southern New Jersey and all over on 2 meters. But it was always station to station, simplex, and you were never on the same frequency because, people would have different crystals and, they wouldn't net together or anything. So it would usually always be different frequencies that you'd be on. Very, very different than 2 meters is today. All right, we'll go on to WA380I. Vince, are you still there? WA3DSP.
Good evening, Doug, and everybody on the net. This is WA380I. My name is Vince, and I'm located in Havertown, Pennsylvania. And nice net, Doug, as usual. In our case, we got started in the mid-60s also. We started listening to a Hallett-Crafters SX500 receiver and started listening to hams back in 1965. And in 1966, we went to the Franklin Institute and took the class that Philmont was offering for novice and technician. And we took that and passed it. And then we picked up a we were allowed to operate CW on. And also made a, put together a Heath Kitt Seneca transmitter for 6 2/3 meters, and we had a Helicrafters, not a Helicrafters, a Hammerland HQ-170A receiver, which was a really nice receiver back in the day, super heterodyne, triple conversion. And we enjoyed using that and working a lot of stations, mainly, well, a lot of 6 meter activity back then, a whole lot of 6 meter activity. Band openings were a lot more frequent than they are now, just like they were on the low bands. And then we ended up working a lot of 10 meter FM activity and 10 meter sideband. We had a converted CB rig with 25 watts that we had in the car. Used to work all over with that, with a Larson 10-meter antenna on it. That was a lot of fun. So we did a lot of that. And then we got a Kenwood TS-520SE and then a Kenwood TS-140S, and just gradually kept upgrading to nicer rigs all the time. And it's been really interesting to see the way the hobby's grown now, to include you know, digital modes and internet linked modes and various things that that we have today. So people in apartments and not being able to operate the low bands can certainly get on the air with other methods, and it seems to be working out pretty well. So, well, that's about it, Doug. I'll turn it back to you. You've been here for a while, and I won't take any more time up. But nice job, and we'll be listening out for the rest of the net. So, 73 WA3DSP and the group WA.
Okay, WA3ADI. And the Philmont net meeting, WA3DSP. Very good, Vince. I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you remember, but some of the people on here that have only been hams for, you know, the last 10 or 20 years, the halo antenna, the 6 meter halo that people put on their cars, an ugly looking antenna, but it was horizontally polarized antenna that you put on your mobile, and it was a loop, a circular loop antenna in the horizontal plane, and I think it had two or maybe three loops together, and that was supported on a pole that you mounted on the back of your car. I guess today it would be hard to find one, but every once in a while you find one at a ham fest. All right, we'll go on to K3YO, K3 Yankee Oscar, WA3DSP.
Good evening, everyone on the net, and thanks for having us tonight. So I've been a ham, God, since 2015. I got my tech, and then upgraded last summer to my extra. And I guess my first radio was probably a ham radio, not a ham radio, sorry, a CB radio back in the 70s. I don't even remember what it was, to be honest, because I got into it and then got out of it, got into computers, and then kind of left the hobby or the interest for a while, and went on to get into computers and engineering and all that good stuff, and then just got back into it later in life like some other here had. As far as radios, hold on, let me give it back to the repeater. As far as radios, actually my oldest radio is a receiver. It's a Drake 2B, which I won at a club meeting, raffle. So that is my oldest one. I think it was, yeah, it was from Sal, NC3U. And I've used it, and it works great. And that's pretty much it. I'm still interested. I'm unfortunately using EchoLink because I'm in the process of moving. I'm going to be in moving to West Conshohocken, and I'll be up on the hill, so hopefully I'll be able to get back on HF once I'm up there and get back on the bands again. Back to net.
Okay, very good. K3YO, WA3DSP. And the last person I have on my list here, KC3GJX, Jeff, WA3DSP.
WA3DSP, KC3GJX, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine, go ahead.
Okay, well, Jeff here, far from a old-timer per se, but met Philmont a few years ago, back in, I think it was 2016 now. Well, I got my test to get my technician and then upgraded shortly thereafter to general. So I met Jim, AJ3DI, Sal, and C3U. And also on top of that, you know, I think I started not too long after that joining into the auctions, and after some awkward stares as to who that guy is, ended up joining the club, and been a member, I think, for a year and a half now, or 2 years now, something like that. But interesting little story about how I kind of got sparked into this. I've always been into radio. I played around with TVs back in the 80s. I used them to talk to my friends around town and all that. And so I always had an interest in radio, but I was always scared of the Morse code deal. Hang on one second. So fast forward back to 2015, I picked up what I didn't know was a Morse code decoder and started fiddling around with it, trying to figure out what this mystery box was. And I was able to hook it up to a shortwave radio, a Panasonic that I had, and get it to decode some Morse code. So that kind of re-sparked my interest, and I looked into the licensing, found out Morse code wasn't used anymore, and yeah, I went in, got my license, and studied up. So hopefully I'll upgrade to extra someday, but just like many others here, I'm kind of a newbie, and hopefully also be part of Philmont Board as well. So with that, Doug, I'll turn it back to you, WA3DSP, KC3DJX.
KB3GJX, WA3DSP, very good, Jeff, and fine on your amateur radio activities there. Do we have any other check-ins for the net? Anyone else that we missed in our roll call here, WA3DSP?
NC3U.
Okay, very good. Jim and Sal, get you down the list here. AJ3DI, WA3DSP, your comments? Okay, very good. AJ3DIWA3DSP. How many are in the box and unopened? That's the question. Sal, over to you. NC3UWA3DSP.
Good evening, Doug. I'll keep it short. It's almost 9 o'clock, I see. But anyway, I started out in 1978. K3JME was my first call sign. I had an Elmer that lived in South Philly with me, and he helped me get started. He gave me my tech test, my novice test, I'm sorry. And then I went up after that. Took me a while with CW, but I finally got it, you know. To make my way through radios, my first radio was a Yaesu 101EE. And how I afforded that was I was making 20-amp power supplies out of old computer parts and winding transformers for guys using amplifiers on CB. So there you go. That was my black market stuff going on. And we were making masks, we were bending metal and everything like that. It was a lot of fun. I made quite a few of them. I still have two of power supplies here now. And they work just as good as the day I made them. But anyway, you know my story recently. I got involved with Philmont, you know, a few years back, probably about, I don't know, maybe 8 years, 10 years ago. And I've been doing stuff for the club and whatever, working all the field days. And a lot of guys, some of the guys on the radio, I help license. So that's a good thing. Back over to you, Doug, and thanks for doing the net tonight.
NC3UWA3DSP, very good, Sal. And thank you for your help with the club. Do we have any other check-ins for the net before we close WA3DSP?
Hello, Charlie 3, Delta Delta Oscar. My name is Len.
I didn't get the call. Go again.
Kilo Charlie 3, Delta Delta Oscar.
Kilo Charlie 3, Delta Delta Oscar. Go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, Doug, good evening, Net. I'll make it real short. I'm not an old-timer, but I had a relative that I never got to meet. I wonder if anybody on the Net knows him. His name was Joe Crow. He was from the Northeast in Philadelphia, and I'm wondering if anybody knows him or worked with him. He's an old-timer, and he was quite estate in the hobby.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I knew him.
He passed away last year, I think. Very sad. He had quite a museum at his house, quite a collection of equipment. Have you ever been to his house?
No, Doug, I never met him. There was one Christmas where he was at the party that I missed, and then the following year he passed away.
He was a great guy. Not a member of Philmont, but he lived in Bucks County, and he was a real collector. And he had every piece of equipment you could imagine. It wasn't very neat. It was kind of piled up all over the place, but it was he had a really lot of stuff. And I have no idea what happened to it after he passed away. I don't think anybody really knows at this point. Maybe it's still there. His wife was still living when he passed away, so I don't know. But anyhow, did you have any further comments?
Yeah, well, Joe's mother lived with my grandparents. Basically, my grandparents raised Joe's mother when their father passed away. And I do know that Joe's wife moved the house. She moved. I don't know where she moved to, but I do know that that property was moved.
Welcome to the W3QZ repeater.
The time is
PL 91.5.
Weather conditions: rain. Temperature 65 degrees.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I haven't really heard. He was very, very active in the AM group, and would check into those nets. And he had a 160-meter net that he ran for quite a while also. And never really heard too much about what happened to his equipment when he passed away. All right, very good. Well, it's 9 o'clock, and we've got to be out of the room by 9 o'clock. I'll remind you that if you want to see a 10-meter homebrew piece of equipment that was very nicely made, go to the website or the groups.io site for Philmont, and I put a PDF file out there of a rig that I believe was built by W3BBB for a 10-meter transceiver, probably sometime in the 1950s. There's some description and several photos of it on the site. All right, 7-3, everyone. Everybody have a great week. Be safe. COVID is raging, and so you really have to be careful at this point. And hopefully we'll hear everybody on the net on Sunday. This is WA3DSP shutting down the Philmont Mobile Radio Club on the air net. Old Timers Night, and saying 73, WA3DSP.
Quick question.
WA3G. Stand by, Greg. The question?
Is this here Phyllis Double with Phyllis? This is K2SPG.
What was the question?
I just hear Phyllis Double with Phyllis.
Phyllis doubled with Phyllis? Is that what you're saying?
The repeater ID. It sounded like she doubled with herself.
No, I didn't hear that. It does an ID, and then it does a top of the hour time and weather.
Two messages came up at once, Doug.
Oh, okay. Well, I may have interrupted it. That may have been the problem. All right, go ahead, Greg.
All right, Doug, very good. I just want to say thank you for running this portion of the net tonight for the Old Timers Night. It was great. Great job. Good to hear everybody on tonight. As always, good to hear from Dick and Bob Thomas. You can always count on those guys to give you some good old information. And you know, Bob used to write a lot of stuff for Philmont, and we thank him for everything he's done over the years. Also, I just want to remind everybody that the voting will start tonight at midnight. The link, Jim already sent me the one link. It looks good, so that'll be ready to go after tonight at midnight. So please go on and cast your ballot. You'll have up till the night or the night before the meeting in December to do that. But do it, I would say do it often, do it early, but that happens in other places. Hold on. You can only do it once here. But do it now while it's fresh in your mind and you don't forget. And of course, we'll mention it on the Sunday morning nets, and I'm sure Jim will get out emails periodically to everybody just reminding them to do that. So, all right. Other than that, not a whole lot else going on. Doug, in about 15 minutes.